Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning Bible study. We'll be in the Galatians, and we're going to be studying there in chapter 5. And it looks like we need to pick up around about, I got verse 2, but we'll just pick up in verse 1 there in chapter 5 there of the Galatians. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, within the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not engaged, tangled again with a yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is a debtor to do the whole law." And in verse 4 it says, "Christ is become of no effort unto you. Whoever of you just verify by the law, you are fallen from the grace." In verse 5 it says, "For ye that through spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither avail for none, but faith shall worketh by love." You know, it's telling us in Aaron, you know, the work is done by love. You know, it kind of came to mind when I was thinking, you know, I guess we kind of touched a little bit about it there this morning, just what Jared and I were just talking about what there, but you know, you think about all the other work, like your parents. My mom, every time we think about it, you know, she would always say, she had to put her foot down. Which, you know, she did it by love. And that's what Christ is doing here. You know, Christ is doing everything he does here because he loves us. You know, we might think in our minds, wow, he's very, very, very strict. But our parents were that way too. But that's how they assured us. You know, and that's how we learned from right, from wrong to right. And we did it by, like here with Christ, we did it by faith. You know, because God loved us so much. In verse 7, it says, "You will run well. Who will hinder you that he shall not obey the truth? For it cometh out of naught of him that calleth you." It says, "A little leaven, leaven in the whole lump." You know, felt like they're talking about loving it. You know, we use that, as an example would be like we use that in bread. And we watch how that bread rises. And then we have a loaf of bread. And that's the way we need to be too. Just like that leavenance. You know, just like how, you know, talk about it says the whole lump. You know, we need to be whole. And that'd be the best example I had thought about was bread. You know, we watch it from where it rises, and then it comes into a hole, and then we bake it. Then it says in verse 10, it says, "I have heard in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but that be troubled, and shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I have preached, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then it is the evident of the cross ceased."
That leaven in the whole lump has just a little bit of yeast leaven that. It's the same attitude you get. Same thing happens with potatoes or apples. Mm-hmm. You get one rotten one in a whole big bag. If you leave it there long, it's going to spoil the rest.
Spoil the rest.
And the same thing happens here when he's trying to tell the Galatians. If you get someone in there, a big tea doctrine or something like that, or stirring things up, just causing trouble, then it's going to have an effect on the whole church.
It's true. That is true. And we touch that a little bit in verse 10. That's like what Jimmy's just talking about. You know, it talks about the trouble that could follow. And, that could be just anything. You know, it could be in the church. It could be a home. It could be anything. And just a little bit of a stumbling block. But sometimes too, it talks about in there, it says otherwise minded, it talks about trouble, and it shall bear his judgment, whoever shall he be. He's given us warning. There could be. But also too, it talks about in verse 11, it says, and if I yet preach, they're talking about the preacher, and it talks about suffering, persecution. Then is it evident of the cross ceased? If you stand up for what, stand up and you stand up for Christ, just like in verse 1, it talks about where we stand fast. You're going to have a little bit of a stumbling block. You're going to have somebody trip you a little bit.
That this circumcision, that's again the Jewish. This happened to a lot of the churches they started because of the Jewish people in their background. They're saying, well, they have to be circumcised, so they're bringing in something from the old law, which they couldn't do, which was wrong. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul would have said, yeah, go along with that. He wouldn't have had them criticizing him and fighting him and having to deal with this. It's false, then you have to deal with it. It's going to cause some opposition, and they were giving him a hard time over that. It's the same thing today, just picking parts of the gospel of Christ to do, leaving other things out. Same thing here. They're wanting to bring something over from the old law, which had already passed, and God preached through the Word that we weren't supposed to do that. They kept bringing that back, even though Paul was there teaching them not to. So it was a kind of a battle back and forth. And again, somebody that wouldn't stand up for that, well, I don't want any trouble, so we'll go ahead and let you tell everybody they have to be circumcised. Well, that Paul wouldn't do that, and it's not the right thing for us to do. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
True.
Paul keeps in mind, we're under the new law now, and he had problems even in Colossians, Calvin, that when they circumcised an old law for the flesh, we're now circumcised by the new law, by baptism. It puts off the old sins. Because he said in Colossians chapter 2, 11, Paul told them, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Pretty plain, but circumcision now is we're buried water in Christ, and that does away with the sins.
And when, you're talking about, we're buried in water, it takes away our sins. When we come back out of that water, we're all washed away. We're starting free, starting new. And a lot of people don't think of it that way. If you think about, when you get talking about it, they just say, well, how can that happen? A lot of times that's a good area to be able to start talking to that other person that doesn't have the questions about different things, that you can talk to them about baptism, to be able to come part of the, be with Christ.
See, another verse goes right along with what Thomas said in 1 Corinthians 1:22. It reads, "For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block." They had trouble believing that. And to the Greeks, foolishness, they didn't want to believe it. But to those who are called, and that would be what we're studying about in James, the law of liberty, one of whom believe in the gospel. Both Jews and Greeks, some of them believe. It's Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. We just get back to like talking about baptism, and that refers back to the end of all the things as far as circumcision. So now we're in that Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
True. In verse 12, it says there, it says, I would, they were even cut of what trouble you. For you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serving one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I think about when it comes to especially the last part, it says, "Thou shalt I love thy neighbor as thyself." You know, it's not talking about your neighborhood. It's not talking about that neighbor. You know, it's talking about really everyone around you. It's everyone. You know, with especially living here in town, here in New Lex, you know, you already live in a small little town. It doesn't matter really where you live. You know, somebody knows you. And you can might as well say the whole town is really your neighbor. But also, too, it's telling us, and here it talks about, it says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as ourselves." You know, we might have a spot with somebody, a neighbor, or maybe somebody just around the neighborhood. But also, too, you got to remember they're a person, too, just like us. And we got to, you know, fill in. And I can still remember our neighbor across the street when she was living there. She would tell us later in the week, she said, "I know where you guys went on Sunday morning." She told Holly several times. She'd see us gone. She knew we went to church. You know, we tried to talk to her about services and stuff like that. So, you know, she pretty much wasn't interested. At least that's what we felt. But we did invite her. You know, we invited her to come to services. And, of course, now she's moved away. She moved away and she went to Florida. But we still think about that, you know, what influence you have around your neighborhood. People see it. And they know on Sundays, like on Sunday mornings and times of services, they know when your car is gone, you know, they know where you're at. You know, it could be, if you want to get down to it, about like, example could be about like a but also too, to me, when it says cutting off, you know, it says we're even cut off, which troubles you. That could be like a distance. You know, somebody that maybe you have a little conflict with.
But you're having conflicts here.
Yeah.
Conflict goes right back to verse 11, circumcision. That was the Jews still trying to push that circumcision. They wouldn't stop. And Paul pretty well said, I wish you'd cut this out. And if they wouldn't, I think he was really saying that you either stop this or you should separate yourself from the church if you're going to teach that.
Well, you think back then it was the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, if you want to bring it back into modern think between us and other nationalities. You know, we could still and say, well, we're not going to get along with somebody else. But they're the same as us. You know, they're here the same purpose that we are. And that's what Paul is trying to show them here, that there is no area, if you want to call it like in verse 12, that says even cut off. You know, if you go and cut them off, what's going to help? You know, they ain't going to be having, you're still going to have a conflict. You're not fixing the problem.
How you handle that is going to be easy to listen. Let's take today. If someone come in here and came a member and started teaching some of the false doctrine that's out there in Christianity now, well, baptism is optional. You know, what are we going to do about it? We can't let that go. Right. We're going to stand up to that. And if they stand up to it, we've got controversy. We have to stand for the truth. That's true. Like you said, the Jews and the Gentiles over circumcision, this could be anything that takes us away from the truth. That's what we do. And I think if we look at James, what we're doing on Wednesday night, look, this is very similar to the same things that James is saying about that. About just sticking with the truth, and some won't. That happens. That in the next verse, he gets into that. In James, he talks about the liberty, the law of liberty. And here in verse 13, this is talking about that.
Well, you know, it's like where I'm teaching today, you know, and before long we'll be later today. This morning we'll have a lesson given to us by lesson. You know, everyone here, you know, if there's something said that maybe you don't agree with, that's where you need to, you know, bring it to the attention of whoever taught it. Maybe there's a conflict. Maybe maybe that person didn't understand. And the one that even doing the teaching, maybe they didn't understand it the way you understood it. You know, and that's where sometimes a conflict happens there too. You know, talks about, like you said in verse 13, it says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only not liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love serving one another. You know, we're here to bring the word, serve everyone that's here. But we're doing it by love. And it says in verse 14, it says, for all that law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we got to think of, just besides ourselves, we got to think of others. And sometimes that's hard.
In the Mark, James talks about the law of freedom, law of liberty, perfect law. Paul is telling them not to use this new law of liberty as an occasion to the flesh. I think the problem in the world, they use that like, well, we don't have instruments now, or we don't have to take the Lord's Supper every week. He said here not to use the law of liberty. That's not what he's talking about, freedom to do anything you want.
Right.
Worship. Don't use that to please the flesh. And that's what's going on in the
Well, everything, you know, through Christ, he gives us in the Scripture. Just like we're talking about the Lord's Supper. You know, it tells us in there we're to do that up on the first day of the week. Well, other place, if other religions did that, they wouldn't be doing what they do. They only do it maybe a couple times a year, and they do it on a certain occasion. You know, Christ has told us that we're to do it up on the first day of the week. And that means every week. Not just say, I'm going to select this week. Let's do it this week. Same way with, there are other things. You know, Christ has given us the guideline and told us. You know, and also, too, it shows the love that he has for us. That he's doing that.
He's dealing with Satan. He kept going back to this. It is written. So what was he talking about? The Word of God. He said, like you're saying the same thing. How do we know how to take the community? And how do we know when? Well, like you just said, it's written.
That's
what
you're trying.
You read that. It's not what we think. It's not what we want.
But, I mean, you know, the Scripture's been given to us. If you want to get down to it, you could say, like, you know, with me, when it came to law, when I had that, I had a big book, and we called it an ORC. And it was called, you know, that was meant the Higher Revised Code. Just same with Scripture here in the Bible. It's given to us. And just like Jimmy was saying, it's written. In the Bible, it's written by the God. You know, it's given to us a guide. But he also, too, wants us to follow it. And sometimes it's, some make it harder than what it needs to be. You know, but he also gives us a guide.
Here's a commentary on what we're talking about here about liberty. It's pretty well written. Christian freedom is not to be abused for selfish ends. Liberty can easily be twisted into a license to do as one wishes. When Christ placed a pardon on it in our hands, he did not give us a license to practice sin. Christian freedom, freedom of condemnation for sin, does not authorize throwing off restraint and pursuing one's lusts. That James talks about desires and lusts. The wise Christian understands that having this freedom means there are no constraints on his devotion and no constraints on the service of Christ. But he is limited only by himself and the extent of his love for others. That's what gets into loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Well, next week, it started like in that verse there, it says, This I say, that walk in the Spirit, and it shall not fulfill the office. You know, we need to be thinking other than what our bodies, our flesh. We also, too, need to be thinking of our spirit, our mind. And we're given, you know, the Scripture as a guide. But like I said, next week we'll get started with into verse 16. We'll get into there in chapter 5. We'll get there next week. Thank you. Jimmy, are we, is the person that's doing the, they going to need this or...